We rise. Grace to you from him who is our high priest, who mediates a new covenant in his blood, and peace to you in that blood, the blood which cleanses us from all sin. Amen. We continue with the eighth in our series, considering the blood of Christ in the book of Hebrews, and we pick up in our text, the writer has just made the argument that all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, even in the first covenant of Moses, there was no remission. Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. He's comparing the earthly tabernacle in the Old Testament to the heavenly place of worship in Christ. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another, he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. This is the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed. One of my part-time jobs in college was to drive residents from a nursing home to doctor's appointments. Some clients I would transport one or two times, and then I'd never see them again. They were in and out of rehab. And then there were the dialysis patients. The dialysis patients I would see regularly, week after week, appointment after appointment, they would go to get treated. Our bodies have a way of accumulating toxins without us hardly even knowing it. We're constantly accumulating waste, and the purpose of blood is in part to carry away the waste. It carries it to the kidneys, and there is like a filter system cleansing our body so that the blood can return with a pump of the heart fresh. Dialysis is the treatment that they prescribe when your kidneys start to fail. They hook you up to a machine which is meant to replace the work of the kidneys and do the job of filtering your blood. However, the dialysis machine is never perfect. It is far less than perfect. It can't fully do what the human body can. Without a transplant, dialysis is only a temporary delay. Eventually, the toxins will build up, and a person will face the sad reality of being placed on hospice. Under the Old Covenant, there was an ongoing need for cleansing. Like clockwork, God prescribed sacrifices to be offered to cleanse the people and to make their worship acceptable. Worship was always concerned with cleansing. And we read that text last night that according to the law, almost all things are cleansed with blood. So even in worship, you can see how blood has a role to play as a cleansing agent. The Day of Atonement is mentioned in our text. It was an annual ceremony meant for purification, where the high priest was permitted to go into the tent and behind the curtain to the most holy place. The high priest would enter with the blood of another, to go into the tent and behind that curtain where the Ark of the Covenant was located. And there he would meet with God. In the presence of God, he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, on the place of atonement, on the covering of the Ark. And he would also sprinkle blood on the altar of incense and on the altar of burnt offering, the places where God was mediating worship. Once a year, the high priest would go into the presence of God. And yet, it was always incomplete. It was always imperfect. Year after year, more was needed. Sacrifice upon sacrifice, again and again, more cleansing was needed. And what does it tell us? A dialysis machine can never function as well as the kidneys. There's a reality to death that's truly unavoidable. We are by nature sinful and unclean, and we can't avoid what's happening. Sin has a way of accumulating toxins in us, with us doing hardly anything. We can curb it. We can make it less noticeable. We can cover it up with this or that. We can distract ourselves with works and busyness that make us look fairly good in the eyes of others, at least most of the time. And yet, it's never the cure. Just like dialysis, it can never do the work of real cleansing. More and more is always needed. Apart from a transplant, we will never be cured because it's destined for men to die once and then the judgment. No matter how we contrive ways to prolong our life, no matter what survival techniques or medicines we take, no matter what response man gives to global warming, to cancer, to kidney failure, the final destiny remains the same: death and judgment. The work of the high priest was always pointing to something better, something greater. It was a copy, a model, an antitype of something true and heavenly. You see, there was more on the cross than could be seen with the eyes. There was more happening than those who looked on could see. They mocked and they sneered, saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down." They assumed that this would never happen to God's Son because they couldn't see what was actually happening behind the curtain. They did catch a glimpse, however. In a cosmic event where the sky is darkened, the earth quakes, the temple veil is torn in two, Christ was appearing before the judgment seat of God. The most we can hear is a faint echo in his words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In the cross, Jesus took on our nature and became sin for us, so that Isaiah writes, "He was despised and rejected. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. And yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Yet he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." This is the Day of Atonement. This is when God fulfilled everything that was pictured in that ceremony. On Good Friday, Christ functioned in a capacity that no earthly ceremony or ritual or work that you and I ever do could provide. It was the purpose of the cross, not in a death to avoid or put off, but in a promise to be fulfilled. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He would then have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There was more than could be seen on that cross, because in death, Christ went behind the curtain, before God. All the sacrifices, hundreds and thousands, even millions, if you count all the sacrifices that went on in Israel, were really only one. They were all one sacrifice, and it was Christ. This is so far beyond calculation. It's more than a recounting of our sins. This is Christ taking on the very nature of sin to bear the curse for everything. It is hell when the creation is forsaken, separated from God's blessings eternally. And this is what God's Son faced. So Paul writes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. We can see why the blood is so precious. It proves the destined death and judgment has been carried out. That atonement has no limit, that there is no limit to God's forgiveness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men, even so through one man's righteous act, the acquittal of life has come to all men. He died for all, committing to us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Once for all sin, once for all people. Christ appears in heaven, and he presents his own blood as the pure and holy offering before God, which cleanses us from all sin, so that he can cry out, it is finished. So that you can believe, it is finished. There's no more need for sacrifices, no more need for blood, and especially no more need for you to offer anything that would gain God's favor. It's all been done. Christ has entered the most holy place with his own blood, and all we do now is wait. It's with that same certainty we wait for our own death, for our own death and judgment, because we know Christ is coming, not for the sake of judging sin, but for the sake of judging salvation. For bringing you salvation. Dialysis patients were the most predictable, the most reliable clients we ever served. Week after week, we would serve them. 3 days a week, they would go at the same time, the same place, for the same treatment. And yet, there was something even more reliable and predictable behind it all. You see, we all knew it wouldn't last forever. With every one of these patients, eventually, without a transplant, the dialysis could not do what the body was meant to do. Christ has offered a transplant for us all, physically and spiritually, so that his death has become our death, and his life has become our life. And the promise of the resurrection belongs to us all through his holy blood. So that our life is not about surviving. It's not about prolonging life or avoiding death. Our life is about living. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We anticipate the resurrection. We wait for Easter, just 2 days away, because we know that this blood given once for all lives for us. Amen.